could introduce themselves, that way we have it for the tape. We're not voting, there's no quorum requirement today.
Start around here.
Russ Smith, Public Works.
Stu Martinez, City Council.
Kathy Agan, City Council.
Greg Jones, City Council.
Linda Johnston, Public Works.
Douglas Ward, Public Works. Oh, we missed you.
Mike Darling, ODOT. Gary Farnsworth with ODOT.
Martin Matezek with ODOT.
Tom Weller, Public Works.
Karen Ward, Counselor.
Ken Mullinax, Mayor.
Okay.
It's these donuts.
We have it on the record.
Yeah.
Jim Fleming, Public Works.
Okay, maybe we'll go ahead and Sue, so you know who's here. Rick Allen, I'm the city manager.
Scott Perkins, Public Works Manager.
Mike Ward, Public Works.
John Bell, Public Works.
Janine Earls, community member, business owner.
Ryan Earls.
Don Greiner.
Dennis Scott.
Jenny Meese with ODOT.
David Natowski with ODOT.
Okay, so what we talked about, we were talking with the ODOT folks, Mike and Gary and I back a month or a couple months ago, wanted to get together with everyone to kind of give you an update on a couple of projects and then spend most of our time, I believe, on the new kind of sidewalk enhancement paving project that's going to go all the way through town. Brian Earls owns the Shell station right down that's impacted by this, so I'm glad that Brian's here. This is kind of today to talk about what they're planning and how we're going to interact with folks like Brian and what their thoughts are and hear from you as we move forward. This is a long process. It's a couple of years before they start working on it. But I should say building it. But they're working on it now, and we'll start meeting with folks soon. So with that, we'll turn it over to you guys and our area manager. I don't know what your titles are. This is the boss from ODOT, so you've got the top guy here, so don't forget to call.
Yeah. See, there's my boss and his boss and the director and then the governor.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm down the food chain a bit. Anyway, Gary Farnsworth again. And we're going to go ahead and start out with some handouts important to the highway project, basically the paving project and curb gutter sidewalk project that's going to go through town. And then we'll touch on the other stuff that's happening as we go through.
And if you don't have enough agenda, I will apologize.
Okay. I've got 18 or 20, so we'll see how far it gets to everybody in the room. And Mike, you have information on projects, the project status. So we'll be able to talk about it. And go ahead and have the budget sheet around to you. Four separate documents going around. The one called the communication plan, that's the one we're going to spend the most time focusing on in the discussion today. Then the project information paper, the front and back. We're going to spend most of our time talking about the second page, the back page of that one. And then there's one that's a spreadsheet table that has the budget information on it, and then the map.
There's just one map, right?
One map.
Great. Get your budget.
Did the budget come around?
Mm-hmm. Did you get one?
No. We didn't get any.
You're coming out that way.
Me, yeah.
Oh, I see.
Everybody got copies? Okay, good. And a little more in the way of introduction. Mike Darling, he's my senior project leader. He's leading the project, and Mike also led the First Street project that we have in construction now. During the project development aspect, we turned it over to my construction folks and the contractor. Mike handed that off when we got to that point. And Martin Kasich, he's our design engineer extraordinaire. He's the lead designer actually for Region 4's roadway design section. And he's got just an incredible amount of experience with a lot of different projects. So I'm fortunate to have Martin on this one. Also, David Natowski. David Natowski is what we call our region access management engineer. We get in the world of access is so important in so many ways to all of us that are involved in highway systems and getting to and from the highway. So David is here to help us with some of the elements of the project. And then Jenny Neese is one of our right-of-way agents, one of our senior agents. Now, Jenny, you worked on the Wickliffe Junction project, and she's actually sitting in for another senior agent, Terry Pistoli, who's out getting minor knee surgery today. So Terry and our right-of-way folks will become extremely important when we get into some of the key decision points for the project. So that's a general overview. I want to focus on the public involvement piece of this and the communication plan. We want to be clear that although this particular project is pretty big, given it, it's in large part, the bulk of the funding is for redoing the pavements from all the way from the south of the interchange up at Sun River all the way down to the junction of 31. So it's a pretty big job, and there's a whole range of issues there that we'll want to talk about with that. But then the city, you all, and predecessors were successful in essentially garnering and leveraging an additional, I'll say, $1 million to continue the extension of the curb gutter sidewalk section, similar to what you have right up here, and what's going to be built up at First Street. So the idea there is we're leveraging not only the funding that we were able to pull into the project with the city, advocating for the funding and the design that you all want, but we're also leveraging the pavement project. The other thing that we're going to be doing, we'll get as far as we can with the $1 million, and whatever we're not able to get to with the full-blown section, we have to go in with the pavement project. We're legally required to go in and fix all of the ADA ramps, all of the connections on the sidewalks to, you know, wherever there are ramps and any issues we have with making sure we meet the accessibility standards. We'll do that regardless, right? That's going to get done. And that'll be a benefit in and of itself just to be doing that sort of work.
Gary, will that include the entrance? I mean, you got the ADAs on both sides of, let's say, an entrance into a business. Will that include the concrete or that little...
Existing approaches,
right.
No.
Generally, only within a right-of-way of whatever it takes to meet the standard.
Okay.
Right, and sometimes it requires right-of-way to do that, but it'll only be to make that, to make whatever's within the highway section, part of the highway system, legal.
Okay.
By ADA standards, right. So that's a quick overview of the project, what you have in front of you, and again, although it's a bigger project, there's a significant amount of work that the city went after. We certainly encourage and also desire to have continuous curb gutter sidewalk for lots of reasons. Safety and access for bicycle riders and pedestrians is very important to us too. But the way we're going to do it is really what the city has your all desire for that section, what it will look like and how it will work. And that's why we wanted to walk through this draft public involvement communication plan with you. It's important we do that. And what you'll see, I won't spend a lot of time on the details. You can ask questions or read this at your leisure.
But we have some pretty targeted general objectives about why and what we're wanting to make sure we have a common set of expectations around. And you see that on the front, those are the objectives. Then the project description, I've started describing this already and highlighted here some items that I've already mentioned. Along with the curb gutter sidewalk section, you see under the project description, the fourth bullet down identifies installing a green median and rapid flashing beacons for crossing points. And Mike, do we know, Martin, whereabout? Are we hoping and planning to do that?
Originally proposed at 4th and 6th, but again, it kind of depends upon how far we get with the streetscape rebuild, and we don't want to send pedestrians to nowhere. That's the other thing. We don't want to cross the street. There's got to be a receiving infrastructure in place. So that'll be kind of, you know, as the project develops, we'll try and work that and figure out where some of the best places to put those rectangular flashing beacons to protect the access and crossing for pedestrians.
Talking about the, you know, the why are we doing this and why is it important, you probably are noticing driving through and then up towards Sun River, the pavement condition, it's starting to fall apart. It's 2004 was the last time we came through. And by the time we get to this in 2017, is the planned construction season for this work, it'll be more than ready for us to have to fit. So that's why we're doing that part of it. And then I started to get into sort of the, I guess, this downtown kind of area here of 97 is where we're talking about implementing the streetscape section, and that's what we have on the map. In front of you. Again, I've highlighted the areas we're talking about. There's a couple of, I think it's important to talk a little bit about, Rick, feel free to jump in on this part of the discussion.
Is there something else that you have?
Yeah, that's two sides also.
So Rick, feel free to jump in here, but one of the things we're going to have to be clear about is, given the fixed amount of money that's going to be dedicated to the curb gutter sidewalk section, about $1 million, that's for everything. That's the design cost. That's the property acquisition cost we'll be talking about in a bit. There's potential on, at least on the state requirements side, there may be utilities that we're required to relocate in order to build a section, and then the construction itself. We don't know for sure yet how far the $1 million will get us, and a lot of it depends on the extent of the work. So, for example, if the desire of the community is to focus on getting everything done in the cross section that's shown, the rough, you know, the cross section that's shown on this paper, in order to achieve all of the landscaping, the trees, the street lights, the landscaping, irrigation, everything that comes with that, that is going to determine how far we can get, linear, how far we can get from First Street. And so far, what we've assessed is the best way to do it is to work from the First Street project at Ray's there and move as far south as we can. That'll determine how far we can get. The alternative to that is where we started with First Street, and that is we decided that we would do what was required infrastructure-wise to make sure we were handling the water, the surface water drainage with the swales, curb gutter sidewalks with the full width and the sleeves and conduits that would require to add the landscape work in after. That's how we approached First Street. We were, I'll say this, this is important too. Thank you to the leveraging that the city did with $100,000. We were able to get an additional $150,000 to do $250,000 worth of landscape work at First Street. So $250,000. $250,000 to do that versus, you know, looking at this and how far we can get. just to do that work. And that's, you know, that's not including what it will take to do just the basic infrastructure. So that would be the alternative. We can either approach the project by starting from the north and doing the full, complete everything section with them, you know, the roughly $1 million to get as far as we can. The alternative would be to do where we started with First Street and just do the basic infrastructure and then basically wait or look for opportunities to bring funding to complete the landscaping work as time goes on. So that'll be a key important decision point. Some of it we'll have to do with as we look at the estimates and we get them refined and talk about what's possible and what's doable. Then we'll be bringing that back. And so there's some variables we'll have to manage. One of the things that we've talked about recently among City and ODOT is perhaps a very minimum is we get everything designed from First to Huntington. And we do sort of a higher level or not as much detail from Huntington down here to Huntington here. And sort of hold it with you know, how much it costs, we know what it might take to do it. We'll still have to do the ADA requirements, but have a very complete design from the north down to Huntington. And then depending on how the funding and budget shakes out, we'll build as much of it as we possibly can coming from north to south. So that's how we're sort of leaning into the project development. We've collected the survey data, we're doing the design work. I don't know how far you've gotten, Martin, but we've got the data now and just getting started.
Early.
Yeah, so very preliminary at this point. Did you want to add or comment on any of that, Rick?
We've had this discussion before on how far to go, what do you build? And so yesterday I was in Bennington with these guys, and what I've told them so far is to let's plan it, do it right, from where it stops at First down to Huntington, and then do maybe the, whatever your term you want to use, but a lesser level of review from the other side of Huntington in front of basically the old Chamber of Commerce building, this direction. So that leaves us a couple blocks, which we could get in another cycle. My concern was if we end up just kind of doing it 3/4 of the way, the full length, then 5 years from now, that's what you end up with, is that. And so then we'll see where the numbers are. Maybe we can go a little further, maybe we can just barely get to there. That, and I would like to hear from all of you on that, because that's really a key thing. You could just go build it. Just taking away the grass and the trees isn't, I mean, that was all the difference was. Yeah. You could probably find that. In other words, if he says if we have $1 million in the project, it means $1.2 million, that's a gap we could close. I figure the difference is going to have to be pretty large in order. So I guess I'm not sure that if you took away, if the trees and the grass are the only difference, I'm not sure you get that much further. The lights are a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
And we could take off, would put maybe some of the lights, you could not put on some of them. Those types of things, but it's so, we have no costs, virtually. It's going to depend on the right-of-way. Our right-of-way is so wide, as we were talking yesterday, we may not have to buy much for any right-of-way, because as you know, we used to have a four-lane road.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of right-of-way. We just don't, they don't know, but they estimate high, and they include a lot of kind of worst-case scenarios. So
thanks, Rick, and what Rick is laying out to me is what we do oftentimes with our projects in the community is we create a menu. Right, and with the menu is lineal distance, minimums, getting in what you want is the very minimum, how much that costs to get so far, and then you start adding things in. You add in the trees, you add in the grass, you add in the lights, you add in so forth, and then you continuously work between length and features and minimums, and we keep working back and forth as we look at budget, cost budget. Potential, any leveraging of additional funds, whatever it is, we just keep working that. And a part of the leveraging is state of readiness. So we have to think about how we want to do that. The other way, there's different ways to leverage. One way leverage is you start at one end and you get as far as you can, complete, and then you stop, or you do a lot of it with elements not done yet. So there's different ways to approach the leveraging of additional dollars. And I think, I just want to put that in front of you. I don't expect any deliberation today, Rick, just other than just to have council thinking about that and thinking about how we might want to approach that process. And then recognizing that we'll want to come back here regularly as we've got the team working forward and get your input, let you know what we're starting to find and get better information. But happy, if you have any thoughts or comments,
well,
now
I would like to hear
feel free
from
to jump in.
Sure. What your some of the folks' thoughts are, because there's no right or wrong, which is, you know, X amount of money and we got X distance.
Well, I'll start with by saying that we've looked at this numerous times at council and public works. I think the idea of coming as far as we can with the money that we've got and it being complete is just like Rick said, the scenario would be if you do it, just maybe leave out some lights and trees and stuff like that all the way through, but it gets you the infrastructure all the way down. 5 years from now, that could be all we've got. Versus, we've got it down to Huntington. It looks great. Everybody understands that at some point in time, we're going to find some more money and get ourselves all the way down to the demo project here at 6th Street. So that's where I think we're better served.
So what I hear you saying is, in one scenario, would be let's get all of the infrastructure into Huntington and then get as far as we can with landscape, you know, the landscape elements, then behind that as far as we can, right? Or we take a quantity approach. How many trees, how many lights, you know, how much landscaping?
Well, that would be an alternative,
you know,
here.
So, those, what I hear you describing, though, those are all the types of nuances and variables that we need to decide on. What does it mean to get as far as you can? We don't know if we can get the complete picture done all the way to Huntington yet. We don't even know if we can do that. We may not be able to get all the way with funding, right? We may only be able to get X distance. And then the question is, you either close the gap by adding money, or you close the gap by shortening how much you do of the complete menu, right? And or what's in between. The other way to look at it, and what you're describing, is we may decide we're going to have a certain tree spacing on the front end and add trees over time, or we add more landscaping over time, or what have you. So that's the issue. And I hear Rick suggesting that where we start the discussion is we try to do complete from north to south as far as we can, hopefully get to Huntington. But if we can't, then we'll keep coming back.
I think you got to get the sidewalk from first to Huntington, because
exactly.
That's your triangle, when you're downtown.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, that's like a triangle.
Right.
So if you had to have a last block of that without trees, you know, you could have the following year.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think when you get past Huntington, then you have way less traffic, people, the potential for people walking diminishes as you go south.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So other thoughts, comments on that? Are we on the right track? So this is how we're approaching it?
Yeah. No, I agree with what Rick said and what you said. Do the best you can to that point, and then if you have to cut back a little bit, the rest of the way to get that done. I think the cleaner and the more complete it looks, the better off we'll be for longevity and everything else.
Yeah, the only other thing I'll mention on that is back to how fortunate I feel we were able to get the streetscape work added into First Street, is that was a scratch and claw. It helped that the city came up with $100,000, and then the rest of it was cajoling and writing it and proposing it correctly to a sort of a window of a funding pot. And those are always crapshoot. We never quite know if it's going to work or not work. And this time we got it, and it's awesome, but you just don't know. And funding is becoming harder and harder to come by for stuff like this, and we just need to keep that stuff in mind. It's getting harder and harder to bring forth what we call the amenities and enhance type elements.
Gary, let's say we get as far as we can, and we've got that stretch maybe from Huntington down this way that just gets the curbs and the ADA and stuff like that. Will this kind of a project be eligible for STIP money down the road? The what is that? The 1821 or 1821 STIP?
Yeah. The problem is that the same, I guess I'll call it the source that we got the money from for this, or the leverage money we got for this of $400,000+. We're going to have about a quarter of that for the entire region. So we have $19 million for all of Region 4, which is 9 counties in Central Oregon, you know, from border to border. We've got $19 million for 3 years. We're going to have probably about $5 to $7 million, right, for all of those 9 counties for those 3 years.
On the next STIP cycle.
On the next round.
Next STIP. Yeah, well, so we're only going to need a small piece of that. So.
We also need a couple million. So.
Yeah. Well, and
thank you.
I'm just giving you that sort of that relativity, you know, and we're in a great spot. We just have to keep this stuff in mind as we move forward, right?
And I'll just add to at COAC, STIP is a state program under ODOT that where they get X amount of money, and then they get everybody in the room together and they present their needs, and there's an evaluation of the importance, is that a not importance but of sure. of the need level for these kinds of projects, and that's how they get funded, and they go down as far as the money will go on that list, and when they get to the last place and then the money runs out, then that's sort of how it works.
It is, and for an element. The bulk of our programming, as we've looked forward with direction by the Oregon Transportation Commission, is the bulk of the money we're going to be spending on is going to be on fixing pavement, fixing bridges, and addressing very specific safety issues. So the deliberation that you're talking about through the area commissions is really shrinking down to that. You know, our program for Region 4 is probably $40-50 million a year. That's reflected on, you know, $2 or $3 million of that is the deliberation type you're talking about.
Right.
So it's shrinking that amount. So
hopefully the legislature has a transportation package would help, but we don't know where that's going to go yet.
Yeah, this year or next year. Right. Yeah, possibly next year.
Is there a limited amount each year? Or yeah. Is it all one funding cycle? Or
yeah, well, we end up breaking it down by year simply from a timing perspective, but it's a 4-year program typically, and we update it roughly every 2 to 3 years. And this the round we're in covers 2015 this year up to 2018. The next round will cover 18 up to 2021, but it will only be funding for the 3 outer years, 19, 20, and 21. And then within those 3 years, we simply look at timing and readiness and other factors to decide which project's going to go which year, and that determines how much is per year. But it's a four-year look at the total program cost, similar to a biennial budget. It's a four-year budget. Okay, well, along the lines, we've been talking around these things, so the other projects, you know, First Street, we've been very successful with that project in getting it very complete, getting all of it complete.
So much, you got a picture over there.
The one thing I wanted to mention on that project, in terms of a status, and by our ability and success in getting the additional funding to do the streetscape elements, we're in our negotiations with the contractor. We're going to have to delay the opening to traffic. We had planned on having it open in August, and now it's going to be late September. And or October. And my only concern with that, and I want to just reflect that on the group, and maybe it just as awareness point, is I'm very interested in how things will work when the school year starts up. It'd be nice to have this, you know, everything working and at least open to traffic. The only consolation I have is we'll still be in a work zone, and actually having the work zone there will sort of help. It raises awareness, we'll have folks out there, and we'll be paying very close attention to how people get cross the highway walking or biking, especially the kids that are coming from the schools and want to get over to the restaurants and everything. So that's just a concern and just raising that awareness.
Gary, where will, you know, with this delay, and it sounds like it's between ODOT and the contractor, but where will we be by August? I mean, I saw in the ODOT Region 4 weekly report that there's no work this week. And I mean, is it in hold status? And what will it look like in August when we thought we'd be done?
Through August, they will be building the full section. They'll be building the entire cross sections, but the entire plan. They'll be building that three-dimensional element of the swales, the landscaping, the lighting. They'll be procuring and building all of that up through that time. And it's going to take that extra time to get it all fitted. There's a lot of additional stuff below the ground that's going to have to be done. Now, the other thing that happens in these situations is we don't just say to a contractor, here's your money, you know, go get this done on the same schedule. We're actually in contract mode. We have to go through a contracting process of a contract change order, and we have to negotiate that out very carefully with the contractor, and it affects everything. So cost, you know, time, new materials, it's all money, right? We were working off a low bid. Now we're trying to have to work in new elements of work, and what it takes to procure the work, to build the work, staffing it takes, all that stuff takes time to get that contracted. So we're basically in a procurement period right now, along with getting everything ordered, you know, all the equipment and additional infrastructure is required. It all takes time. That's why we're not working right now, is because we didn't want to go any further with the current schedule and the way the contractor had the work lined out until we know we've got the additional work fitted into that schedule in the right sequence.
And that additional work is the landscaping element?
Yeah, everything it takes to make the tree, you know, installation of the trees, the tree wells, the, you know, the lighting bases, all the conduit that needs to be ordered, brought in. You know, we need to figure all that out. That's all work. A lot of that's work that wasn't described in the bid.
Okay.
Right? So it just takes time, and it'll take time to build it all in those sequences.
And I've had a lot of people, you know, half a dozen at least, ask me why there's no work going on.
Yeah, well, we're pausing.
And I'm sure the rest of us have.
Pausing to make it better.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, just in my response to people, which you know me, I just say is, I realize it's going to be 4 weeks longer than we wanted. However, I've compared that to the 50 years it's been like it is. And I think we will survive 4 weeks. I mean, it's going to be tough. And the world may come to an end. If you think about it, kids have went to McDonald's for 20 years. Again, we're trying to fix it, but I'm not sure that 4 weeks, you know, I'm a long-term thinker, and so if it took them to October 15th, I think we're okay.
Yeah.
Well, I just, so, I agree with everything Rick's saying, except for, I'll be glad when we got it open.
Yeah.
Signal working, because I'm going to be really nervous during that time period.
Oh, I'm not saying. The comments people are making, they just want it done because they're excited. Mm-hmm. You know, and what I'm saying is that it'll get done, and, you know, it might be the 25th of September or the 10th of October. You know, that's what I look at. And I think it's going to be great when it's done. The reason why I went to the meeting with all these contractors every last week or 2 weeks ago, and, you know, the issue is, you know, the other thing was, well, do you want them out jackhammering up, which is not going to happen, but concrete because we've added a box. Well, that makes no sense. And the owner of the company was there, and he says, you know what, let's just take a couple week break, get this figured out, so when we put in the junction boxes and
that's
all
the contract.
Yeah, it's all done right. It'll be easy to maintain forever. Your boxes are labeled for you, and the ODOT's got their boxes labeled, and, you know, and I can't argue with that.
Get it done right. Get it done the first time. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the goal. We've got a good contractor, we've got a good team, everybody's working together, it's taking time.
But that's one reason that we were talking earlier about coming on down. See, we would have been in the same scenario again. We would have had it bid without all of it. See, and then we would have said, okay, now let's go two blocks. Then you have to stop the project, add it all back, because you're either going to bid it with it, and everything's engineered fully, or like we would do what we did here. And
the other variable in all of this is, we don't really know how much it's going to cost until we're done building it, but there's another milestone in there when we get our bids. And that's one of the reasons why we did it this way, was we didn't know how much it was going to cost, and we wanted to know before we brought in and chased additional dollars. Well, that risk management is taking, the result is we got more money to do more, which is awesome. The bad news is it's taking more time than it could otherwise. So, yeah, just a good example and a very good reflection on what we're talking about now with the next project, is how we need to manage those variables and take some guesses on, you know, how we want to risk and what opportunities we see. The other project is the one there, the overcrossing project. Very much on track from my perspective, what I'm hearing from the project leader, Wade Luckman. Wade Luckman took that over from Amy Pfeiffer to get it to construction. Actually, Wade will stay on the job through construction, which is great. And Wade's very experienced. He's been the lead guy out in the field at the Murphy Road project up in Bend. He's very capable. He's getting this thing through to the construction. Everything is going smooth with the railroad, as far as I know. Denny, all the right-of-way issues seem to be on track. BLM, we're out there. There's timber sales going on and cutting going on out there. And the utility work, as far as I know, we're doing okay with that. We're right on track.
Yeah. Utilities.
Yeah.
So we'll some water, sewer lines, fire hydrants. We have done it.
No, we're still in the design.
Yeah.
Right. One of the nice things about that project is mostly going to be built out of normal traffic, which will be good. We will have some traffic control issues and we'll continue when we get the contractor on. We'll bring them in for next year, for next summer, to talk about what the traffic construction impacts might be, and get the city's input and community's input on that closer to that time. But that won't be closer to the end of the job. We'll still have enough to manage traffic to get construction equipment and materials in and out of the job site. So that'll be ongoing too. But once we get the contractor and we get that stuff nailed down, we'll bring them in and send them a work session. So looking good. We're done. All right. So moving on, back into the project here, the paving and the...
Well, and I was just going to say, we're here also, just so you can kind of see in a big perspective, you've got the First Street Pine project construction this year. Next will be the Wickiup Junction project construction next year. Mm-hmm. And then the next year after that will be this project, the paving and then the sidewalk project. So it's going to be, next three, couple of years are going to be busy here in the pond, so.
Yep. Wow. I'm alive. On to just, again, looking for input, looking for thoughts too. This is a stakeholder list, stakeholder public, on the bottom of page 2 of the communication plan. We got, of course, council here, mayor at the top of the list for stakeholders. Rick, and then anyone that, Rick, you identify that you want involved from Public Works, whether it's Scott or whoever you want on the project team, Mike, you just need to work through that and continue to stay closely involved in the decision making. Just like yesterday, we were sitting down with Rick and talking to him. But you see the list, I won't belabor on that. But always open-ended, and we're always looking. So a lot of times, not only in settings like this, but when we're actually engaging with these folks, we're asking them who else. Right? Who else do we need to involve? Who else do we need to talk to? What are the perspectives we want to get into the process? Okay, so an hour later, we'll take ideas for additional groups or organizations or businesses or what have you that you want us to consider.
And as we will have more meetings, Rex Holloway is our community liaison, and I know you may have already met him, but he'll be actually working with stakeholders, get people an email lists, and just start, you know, continuing in that communication process. So he'll be another face that you'll start seeing more and more of.
I don't see the public schools down here.
There you go.
Yeah.
Are they
okay?
Ben Lapine School District.
Is it?
Yep. Ben Lapine School District.
Okay.
That's all right. Keep asking.
Some of the names are old, things like that.
Oh yeah, there's a contact list on the back. We'll want to update that.
So do you want input on names?
Anytime.
Okay.
Now,
email.
Hey, if you email. Yeah. Whatever you want. Whatever's convenient for you. On the next page, and speaking of Rex, he's been very instrumental in putting a lot of materials together today and working closely with us. Well, the project information paper, that front and back sheet, that will actually be embedded in the website for the project, just like we have on the other projects. So we'll have that. We're doing, this is an example of the workshop briefings. We'll probably have at least one open house somewhere going into the fall. And we can do that in different ways. We can engage with the council just on the same night, or we can, you know, come to formal meetings, whatever you desire, and whatever we think makes sense for the status of the project. We'll be setting up different ways for folks to provide comment, written comment, phone call, email, forms. We'll have different options set up probably through the webpage and contact information for folks. Get involved in.
Gary, can I add a comment here? This link at the bottom of the page is I believe run by Rex.
Which one are you looking at?
Yeah, this on the
VIP.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And if you want to get on that mailing list or that email list and see what's going on, you can go there and just sign up for it. I get it every week, and it comes out on Fridays. And it'll tell you everything that's going on in Central Oregon, almost, I guess, whatever Region 4 is. But it's great info.
If we can narrow it down to just this project, we can put a link on our website. So perfect. We can say, you know, the Pine Highway projects, and people click on it, and it'll take you to the ODOT one.
That's a great idea. We should do that. We should do that with the three projects. And
I don't know that I want to send them to a search of all the projects from the Pilot Falls to the Dow. That'd be awesome. So if there's a way to get it to.
Yeah, because we have a separate page just for this project. It's already up. So
we may have the wiki up. And then Wiki is going to offer a lot of questions over the next 2 or 3 years. Okay.
So who should Rex get a hold of to interact with?
Patty.
Okay. And then, also, the mayor talked about just general, if you're just interested in general, but also Rex, as we know here on this these items for outreach, is we will be building an email list for the project as well. So when there are key points on the project, we'll have that email list going. And so we'll want to work with Rick and staff here to get contact information into the email list. And then, meetings with individual property owners, businesses, school district, and you see the list there on that last bullet in the summary section. Key issues, we talked through a lot of these key issues already. So you see that, don't want to spend a lot of time on that part of it, but we're going to get into some more specifics. Decision-making criteria method, so this is pretty important to us as we get into it. And you'll see the breakout. So there are three sections here, pavement preservation, the criteria around that, and then the sidewalk streetscape. We've already been talking quite a bit about that. And then down at the bottom of the page for the commercial area, we have jumped into draft for road. I want to talk about that too in a few minutes. On the pavement preservation project, most of that is going to be very technical work, engineering work in terms of the pavement design, what it takes to rehab the pavement, upgrading the signs, things like rumble strips. Now I know rumble strips, they're very good for safety, but we're becoming very attuned to issues with noise and where we put them. But we've also got some pretty clear criteria on making sure we're doing rumble strips in effective ways. Those sorts of things, very technical. That the part that I think we'll be looking for the most engagement on is during construction. How do we manage traffic? How do we manage the impacts? How do we manage access? And all those things with a big paving preservation project that's 17 miles long. There'll be a lot of delay type related impacts that'll come with that, safety concerns and that sort of thing. A lot of paving work will be done at night, but there'll be activities going on all the time. And we'll probably be spending a lot of time when we get closer to construction on the involvement around how we're gonna do that. And it'll be very important for us to be working with all of the affected properties and businesses along the highway to make sure that we've got a good access established during construction. So that's what that is. And then on to the streetscape, part of our sidewalk streetscape section, again, looking at the highlights there, we talked around this. One of the, probably the biggest challenge we're gonna have when it comes to decision-making is gonna be just right off the, you know, the bottom of that page. The most challenging will be the decision-making related to the needed changes in driveway and parking access along the highway in order to make the goal of the continuous sidewalks streetscape work, right? So that's gonna be the hard work. That's gonna be the most difficult part of it. It's one thing to talk about how far can we stretch our dollars and how to be efficient that way, but I'll just say this. I'm not real excited. Our traffic manager, Joel McCarroll, and Joel is instrumental in the road diet project and moving that forward. We're not real interested in telling the community we all need to close and move driveways around just because. We're not gonna do that with this project. What we're gonna do is identify the needs and interests of the community, greater community, particularly around creating the streetscape element we want, and roll up our sleeves with everyone and figure it out. And it's gonna affect driveways, it's gonna affect how people get in and out of their, you know, off the highway to access properties and businesses along the highway. It's gonna affect where today there may be an open frontage to defining with curb gutter and sidewalk where the driveways need to go. But we don't have any other compunction to do that outside of the desire we have to get the continuous curb gutter sidewalk sections. Get them done and get them done right the way the community wants to see them done. But it's gonna be hard. In some instances, it's gonna be real hard. In other cases, it's gonna be not as hard. Some of the examples we'll have to deal with are we have parking arrangements that have been here for decades. The defined parking is on the public right-of-way. And we're gonna need some of that right-of-way in order to achieve the vision, right, that you see here. So what are we gonna do about that? How are we gonna maintain the viability of the business or where the property is being used for in a situation where we're gonna have to change something in order to make the curb gutter sidewalk section work and make it safe. So it's safe between pedestrians that are walking along and where the cars and trucks are coming in and out. Circulation on the site, getting in and out, you know, through a gas station or convenience store or what, you know, Ray's, whatever it is, that's gonna be tough. But we're gonna work on it. We're gonna work on it property by property. And we wanna start with those property owners. This page 4 of the communication document is crucial to our success in figuring this out. We're gonna have to balance between the mutual interest ODOT and the city has in the continuous sidewalk and the drainage. So that helps define, we need to do what we're doing up at First Street. We need, you know, X amount of space to put in the drainage swales and to put in the sidewalks we want, the curbs, in the right places at a baseline. And then there may be additional needs to address how the landscaping will work, where the trees will go, where the streetlights will go, right? So that's an added dimension, so that's those first two bullets. And then we're going to be very tuned into the economic interests and needs and goals of the adjacent property owners that are going to be affected by that. And they're going to be interested in, because we do this a lot, but we're going to be wanting to know more about what they're interested in, access and parking for the customers. The location and design of the approaches must be adequately serve the volume and type of traffic anticipated to enter next to the property based on the planned uses of the property. Location and design approaches must reasonably address unique aspects of the business or the property use, including but not limited to location of the buildings, parking, and site circulation. The approaches to the property must be safe to enter and exit for everybody. We have tools. We're going to be interested in from the highway side about how the driveways work when they, as they, you know, as how they interface with the highway, and that's what that bullet is for. And then we've already talked earlier about the limited funding and how we need to manage that. So that's a starting point. And what we're going to do is we have these magic people at ODOT called our right-of-way agents. Jenny's one of those magic people. Along with the other right players, we're going to work and communicate, probably start with the phone and getting together and work through the issues here with that individual property owner. If they have tenants that have businesses on their properties, we're going to talk to the property owner about how they want to work with the tenant. We're not going to go chase after the tenants, we're going to work with the property owners. It's very important to us that we don't. And we honor that relationship. So we want to work with those property owners. And we're going to talk through these criteria points. We're going to talk through not only the criteria points, but what's missing, what can we add, how do we focus this, and how do we take the criteria and use it to come to reasonable conclusions on each property. And that's going to take some time. It's going to take us July, August, yep. September, probably as we first start talking and then do the follow-up and do the design work and look at the property requirements and look at the, you know, the existing accesses and all the property rights and access rights that are out there. It's going to take some time to get through that process.
And that's when you might probably start hearing back from folks, because we're going to kick that off pretty quick here about starting these one-on-one meetings again, start at the north and work south. And this is a good time to give you all a heads up that we're going to be meeting with folks and on a one-on-one basis with property owners, and don't go through these criteria. Here's the project. Tell us about your business. Tell us about your operations, your delivery trucks, service trucks, customers. When do they show up? How do they access the business? All those different things. But those conversations are going to start pretty quick. And that's another reason we wanted to come before City Council and the rest, is to give everyone a heads up on that this will start occurring, and then you might start hearing questions or comments from folks.
We know how to do this, and we've got some great recent examples. US 197 and Maupin, it's starting to fade in time, but we worked through quite a process there. US 20 and Sisters is another example where we were able to work through property by property, business by business, work through the issues of how to do the curb gutter sidewalk, how to connect it into the properties, how to make sure access worked, how to address parking, and we figured it out. This just means we're going to have to spend the right time and the right energy solving problems, and we will likely be coming back to council with some specific requests or actions that will help us get through it. But the idea is we're doing it completely in a collaborative way the whole time. No one's pushing. In this case, this is the agenda, right? This is the agenda. There's no other agendas here. Okay. Now remember, ODOT. We have to worry about everybody that uses the highway, right? And that's a little different than a community or a city or a single property or business. We all have clients, we have customers, but ODOT, we have to worry about everybody. So that's important to recognize. But we do want it done right, we want it done well, we want it to work, but we're not pushing anything. We're not driving any of this by standards or police power. none of that's happening. We're doing this because we want it done the way it should be done. And a lot of that should be done is the time we spend working with the individuals and what they need to make it work. Any thoughts, questions about that?
So this is all just one side of the highway, not both sides. So.
We will be, as a result of the paving project, upgrading the curb ramps and inadequate streets on the east side of the highway, northbound. But this project is only going to be working on the west side of the highway.
And that's an important nuance, too, because the same process we're describing here, where we're not trying to, you know, with the money we have, getting the full streetscape section, when we're dealing with the ADA requirements, it may push us into some similar discussions. Right, we may have to impact a property. We may have to impact an access. We don't know that. And Martin, I don't know if you've looked at it very closely.
We're not that far along yet.
Yeah, but we'll know at some point, hey, this is going to affect a property, so we'll have to go ahead and have a similar conversation with that property and business owner if getting to the ADA standards is going to require something of them. Right, we're going to have to work with them. We don't know that yet. We're pretty confident on the streetscape aspects, so we're going to have some tough challenges ahead of us to figure out. But we've done some creative things. I think about the gas station in Maupin.
Yeah.
You know, some of those are not easy decisions, and it sometimes we're not all going to be completely happy on either side. We don't necessarily want to compromise either, but somehow we figure out how to make that work.
You find some way to make it work. Right?
Yeah, and still meet the higher goals, right? Right. And that's the whole point is we're going to have some conflicting goals here, and the question is going to be, are we going to be able to figure out how to engineer our way through it, or, you know, mitigation, whatever it takes to make it work. It
seems like these go through kind of cycles.
Yeah.
You know, first, it's a little rougher, and then it kind of goes through, and the ones I've watched, and, you know, what makes you, I'm sure you find most of the time, when it's all done, people end up actually very happy. When you look back a year later, and I would say 3/4 of the folks who were, you know, there's always an element that will just not like it at all, but actually 3/4 of them end up coming around a year later, because you do, you know, it does work out, but boy, when you're in the process, it's, you know, it's change, it's making me look at things differently.
Especially during construction.
Yeah, but when it's done, I was in Sisters a lot when they were redoing that, and you talk to the businesses, and they were grumbling along the way that they're all happy, and, you know, and you're doing the south end of Matters right now, you know, and you had to move a lot of driveways and cut off corners of properties and all kinds of things, but, you know,
yeah.
it all works out, but it is painful getting there sometimes.
Yeah. And Matters, the same thing. We've been working at that for years, but generally speaking, more than generally speaking, almost completely, even up to now, we even when we got to, you know, approaching the time for construction, we had a couple of very sticky issues we were dealing with, but we were able to figure that out. And it's under construction, it's challenging, but we're doing it.
And they did the North End of Matters, there was a businessman who wasn't happy and went to the commission, actually to the Transportation Commission, basically with a farmer friend. And you know, he was just adamant about that project, and he owns 5 very high-profile businesses in Central Oregon. You've all eaten that. And he today would tell you it's his number one operation of his 5. He beats his ones in Prineville and Redmond and everything else, but he fought it tooth and nail. Mm-hmm. You know, but today he would say, and that's his human nature. And so we'll end up with some of that.
It's all good. Okay. But we just need to be deliberate and thoughtful. So, the other piece of this, I wanted to put this out there because it is another thing that we just need to push through, and that is the timing aspect of the pavement project. We went through this with the rail crossing project, and we're here again, even more directly, and that is, should we or could we be doing anything in that section there, basically north of Roslyn up to where the fence is? Yeah, and actually Jenny's been working on an opportunity there with property owners there from Drafter down to where the fence is up there to actually a very, they came to us to work out an effort there to acquire the access rights and consolidate, and they're looking at all kinds of options for connectivity to the local system and properties and all that sort of thing. And I know there's further interests. Rick, you've been very involved in discussions, maybe others have too, about the properties and businesses really south of where that fence is.
Interest to do something. The owner of the property that you're talking to, had him in my office a couple weeks ago. Yeah. And he's excited. So that's going to take longer, I'm assuming, on some of this.
It is. So the question is, and the reason why you see this here is it's just I got a question mark by it because we've been talking and we're interested in if there's an opportunity to add on, I'll call it, to the pavement preservation project by paving out, right, driveways to the road connections or driveway connections.
Why don't you tell them? I think we aren't pretty sure what the issue is. Just give them a minute on the issue out.
Well, so you have several business owners. Further you go south towards Gordy's, you have the businesses there on that sort of in the middle. We've got some open frontage. We've got, multiple driveways. It's not very well defined. Gravel connections. It's just not very good. It doesn't look very good. And we have property owners, businesses that want to clean it up. And they want to improve access. They want to improve visibility. I've got, sort of outlined here. As I was discussing earlier, we don't have any particular interest on the paving project to go out and fix all of that. But if the community is interested in some things we could do while we're constructing the pavement improvements, if it included any consolidation of driveways, shared driveways, improving the driveways and the road connections,
signage,
any of those sorts of things, we're all ears. But we need to know. We need to know pretty soon on how we want to engage in that. And we're not budgeted for it, right? Maybe some minor things like how we build the aprons out, how we look at constructing driveways or within the right of way. There may be a little wiggle room there, but not much. It'll really be about how if there's interest in changes, how the circulation will work, how easements will work, how things connect up if we're going to do anything significant. And there's a lot of work there, but if there's an opportunity, so we don't have to do it twice, we don't have to build something two times, or if we've got a pretty high cost contract underway, a lot of communities will leverage that work to add pieces in. So that's what this means, and I'm interested, and perhaps we look for an opportunity to gather property and business owners up, again, Rick can talk about whether or not there's room there. But it does mean process. We'll be back into some process about what does it take to follow all the rules. That's we get into David's world a little more and the right-of-way world about if we're going to make changes, then we still have to go through the process and do it right. So.
And which project are you trying to tie in with?
The paving project. I'm sorry.
The one that's going right now? The First Street? Or
No, the bigger, the big.
97.
Don't really have a paving project.
The big one. Yeah, the one where, this one. The bigger one that goes from some Sun River all the way to.
Which is not the Wikia project.
No.
That's a fourth project if you had a fourth map.
Okay.
Well, the paving project is what I'm talking about. Yeah. So this communication plan for this project, the one that we're going to repave all the way from Sun River all the way to 31, the one we're going to include the sidewalk work in here. In town, the question is whether or not there's interest on the part of the community and the property owners up there. If they want to do something different than what's out there now, we need to know now that they want to. And a part of this little write-up suggests that if they do, a part of it's going to be where's the funding going to come from to do that.
So is this going to tie into the Wikia project? I mean, because if you're repaving. Okay.
Yeah. Right. So I'm tying it.
Okay.
So if you look in this paper on the bottom of page 4, this is for the Sun River to 31 project, the same one that we're going to be doing the sidewalk improvements on here in town. Okay. right? So we got all the criteria sort of framed up and how we're going to do that. The question, I got a question mark there by that one for that, that big project, is do we want to do anything there additional in the way of dealing with access and the interface between the properties and the highway?
How will you find that out? Will you engage the property owners along that strip and say, you know, I mean, and engage them in a conversation about what do you want, what do you see, that kind of stuff?
So the draft idea is at the bottom of page 4, what our city members would need to engage the property business owners on this short list of criteria and decision-making methods, including their ideas, right, for criteria to make the decisions. But if you look at the bullets, the first one is, what are the economic needs, interests, goals of the property owners? Driveway design will be important. And need for funding. So that would be that we'd start with that. We'd start the discussion. And it could be in a group there. I think there was, at least for a while, Rick, there was an interest in the business group.
They have a little group that meets a little bit.
Or maybe a couple of key folks and start talking about and see what the interest is and what the opportunity is. And if it isn't, if the timing isn't right, in other words, if there's a bunch more planning that needs to happen among them, you know, to get everything worked out for, you know,
it's going to be tough with your timeline. Just trying to get that many different property owners and leases and all of that together.
But if there's little wins, there's, you know, things we can do that we hear from the individuals, right? That they want to go ahead and make an investment or do something, then we can partner.
Right. If you get into it, there's a lot of issues.
Yeah. So if we talk about, you know, consolidating driveways or focusing on just the road connections and then taking the driveways off the highway, that means there needs to be a network.
Yeah.
Now we're talking about crossover easements between properties, and there's got to be roads and connections to the county or the city system.
You already have a frontage road. Can turn along it into two-thirds of it or half of it has a frontage road. Who owns the frontage road? And who takes care of the frontage road now?
But if there's things we can do, if there's things we can do as a part of the project, or if there's a, you know, if everybody understands the timing, 2017, summer of 2017, we'll see.
But you need you have in the next year you have to work out because
we're going to build it.
Yeah,
right away.
So that's
there's property issues or there's access changes that need.
I mean, I think that they're all going to say if we gather them all, they would all say, let's fix it up. Let's do it.
But then we didn't know what it is.
Yeah. There's a need. And there's a discussion.
Yeah.
And then we're to go do something with it. And I just don't know for the city to take on a major planning effort out there in a short time period like that would be pretty.
Is that the time limit now? Is 2017 for out there?
Yeah. So that'll be the correction year. Yeah.
We don't have an awful lot of time to play around with.
We're sitting in June of 15. So you've got
year and a half.
Yeah, we need
to have to bid it ahead of time. You have to also.
Yeah. We need to have some early decisions here into the end of this year. Yeah. Early decisions as it relates to property requirements. We'll need to know here by the first of 2016 on the property side. We'll still have time if there's stuff we can do within the right of way, right? Or if we've got that clarified, we'll have more time. We'll have all the way into probably the fall or, you know, even beyond that into the spring of 17. But it gets harder and harder. The further we get down the line with our design and right-of-way requirements and decisions we're making for traffic management, construction activities and all that, it gets harder and harder. But there is a window, and I'd rather not just blow them off. I'd rather say, hey, you know, we're serious now. You know, give us, you know, if there's something you're interested in, now's the time to bring it up. Because when we get a little further down the line, we're just going to want to, you know, blow forward as much as we can.
We've got about 10 minutes left.
Yeah, I think we're super close, Rick. The only other thing is you see, I just wanted to just be very transparent about how we see this moving forward in more detail on the schedule. I highlighted here that we're here today. The next thing we'll be doing, besides all the design work and all the detail engineering that's going to be required, is we want to go ahead and start lining up time with the property owners. As we talked earlier, particularly the property owners between starting at Ray's and working our way down, all the way down here to north of Huntington, we'll start on the front end. And then as we're designing and engineering and we see, we look forward, we get a better understanding of what the ADA requirements are, you know, we're just going to work sort of that north to south to have those individual discussions. And we'll have our right-of-way agent, most likely Terry, will be on point. We'll continue to firm up who we want to participate in those discussions. We don't want to bring a lot of people. We don't bring a lot of government to a meeting. We want to think very carefully about who we want to have there with that first discussion. But that's the idea, is we'll look property by property, owner by owner, and say what would be the best way to go ahead and have that discussion with them. So we'll be doing that here July, September timeframe. You know, June to November, we're going to continue to work on the design details and all the things we've been talking about. And into the fall, we'll as we make progress, we'll continue to work the process to, you know, getting back to you, working on other ways we want to engage the stakeholders, the public, and public meetings and so forth. So that's just an outline of where we are, and it's very open-ended. This is a pretty, what do you call these?
Evergreen. It's kind of a living document. So this will be updated and changed as we move forward, and as we get comments, suggestions for people, we'll be updating this and coming back to you with it. Here's where we're at now. Here's where we're in the process. We've made these changes and adjustments.
We got a starting point on our contact list there on the very last page. You know, send us comments or questions or help us make sure we got the right folks identified or who's missing and all that. We'll keep working through it primarily on the progress of the project, and I talk to Ken pretty regular, so I'm looking for input that way too. And then you've got the contact information on the information paper.
Yep.
Other questions, other thoughts? Hopefully not too confusing. We have a lot going on down here.
Approximately when are you going to know if you're going to be short on money? The time you're going to get the bids in and get your final figure?
Well, we won't go out for bids until the spring of 2017.
Okay.
But every 2, 3, 4 months we're going to be doing updates on our costs. Mm-hmm. And as we get information about right-of-way requirements, even temporary construction easements, you know, have costs associated with them. As we were progressing on our design work and what's required for access and all those details, we'll know more and more as we go. And the idea is, we build that sort of menu of priorities budget, and we get more findings. Mm-hmm. We'll update that and we'll bring it back. We'll bring it back to certainly Rick will be plugged in to all of our, you know, our team process. But we'll pick times that we can come back and brief council on the status of that balance.
Yeah, John, the quicker Rick knows if we're going to have a shortage of money, the quicker he can look for someplace where he can get it.
Sure.
You know,
okay.
To be able to finish the project.
Right. Well, so that's great. That's a great point. And Rick is the best at this stuff.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah, he's the best to work with, sorry, to get stuff done with communities in general that I've ever worked with, so that's, you got that going for you. But not to be smart about it, we're already short.
But how much?
Yeah, and well, you know, if you think about short in terms of having the whole thing done.
Right.
So, you know, we're probably short $2 or $3 million.
Okay.
For the whole thing, both sides, right? Just to get one side done, we think we're short. Now, we're pretty sure. But we'll know more about what that shortness means.
How much?
Right. as we go, and I think that's what you're talking about is what does that shortness mean, and versus what we'd really like to get to. So, in other words, if we really want to get everything done down at Huntington, complete streetscape, everything, pretty sure we'll be short, but we'll know more. And as soon as we know more about that, we can inform you all about that.
Yeah, because if it's only a small amount of money to finish it completely, I'm sure we can dig it up someplace.
Yeah.
I'd hate to see the project half done and then, you know, we're waiting another 10 years to finish it up and it just doesn't look right.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think we'll figure that part of it out.
Yeah.
timing and what the gap is and what the leverage is at the moment.
Yeah. Another piece of that too is to define what you mean by small.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, if you start getting half a million above, forget it.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's, you're right. What is that delta? What is that?
You know,
and that'll be the point of discussion.
So. Yeah.
Good. Well, that's good feedback, and we'll do that. And just keeping that communication going is going to be important. Other thoughts, questions? Concerns? We kept it to council. I don't know if
you want to open up. Let's hear that has enough. We're going to be working close with Brian and his family on it, and I think that, you know, we've talked about that, and we'll work close one-on-one with you guys and try to figure that out. And there's ways to do it. We've all been looking at ways to try to make it work, and I know you've been thinking about it. So, you know, there's a couple rougher spots. Brian's is obviously a little bit tougher just because the nature of the beast, and next door to him is tough, and then next door to that's easy.
Right.
But yeah, there's nothing there.
Well, it's going to be, so we're doing ground floor. We're going to open up the methodology, the criteria, every aspect, all the ideas we're going to be putting in front of us. Martin, did you have anything to add, or?
No, I'm just looking forward to working with the property owners and getting all the
that's when you get
beans
to be
figured out. It's fun for me. It's challenging.
Fun for the engineer.
Problems are fun for me, I think.
Yeah. Anything, David or Jenny, that you want to add? Okay, good. Good, Mike. He's going to really be taking this over as we get deeper into it. So,
yep. And you'll start seeing a lot more activity. There'll be more folks out here doing surveying, and you see more crews with ODOT vests on, taking measurements and doing different things. So you can expect that too. Again, the 1-1 meetings, we're going to start cranking that up with property owners. So you're going to see more and more activity. Then we may kind of go away, it seems like, but we're doing design work. We've got these big milestones that we're focused on, and we're going to be driving towards those. And we'll make sure we stay plugged in with Rick and then touch back with you guys.
Great. Linda, I think we can go at this point in time. Linda, if you want to go to item number 7, public comment, and I'll leave it to you to close the meeting.
Okay. Do we have any more public comments from anybody? Staff? Committee members?
I didn't understand. I just said thank you guys for coming out. Everybody showing up, because that's the communication piece, and we'll keep at it.
Yes.
But, you know, we're lucky that we're going to have 3 years, if you want to call 4 projects over the next 3 or 4 years, that's spending $25 million through this community. That isn't happening in other places, and we look for a town this size. So, you know, it's a problem, but it's good. And so we have to focus, really, I was telling them yesterday when I was in their office, we have to focus the city and all of us. It's really on ODOT stuff. Then they will go away for a few years, because it just doesn't keep coming in. So we will then be able to work on other stuff. But right now, staff time, our available resources, really has to be put into kind of, because they're here doing projects. So we have to do that. You know, then we'll be able to branch out 18, 19, 20, when they're all done, we're going to go kind of other places. But you kind of get it. We cannot be running all over it. So this drives us.
Yeah.
Because this is what's on their schedule. And, you know, we got to be there for it. Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to emphasize one thing. The entire time that I've been talking a lot, I've been focusing on the 4 points at the top of this communication document, right? I've been thinking about them and talking about and relating everything to, you know, we've got a need, we've got opportunity both, we've got the right team, we're going to use a very sensible approach to this, for good decisions, and we're going to listen a lot, and we're going to care a lot. And we're going to keep doing that through the whole process, and we, ODOT, we expect the same from Rick and from the council to be staying on top of that 4-point mantra.
Thank you very much. Are there any comments from the Public Works Committee? Any questions, comments? Are we ready to adjourn? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you very, very much.
Thank you for having
you.
It works.
I know, that's what I have to
do. You can turn that off. Thanks, guys.
Yes, thank you.